telecommunications is not our last meeting of the year, I suspect, but we're hearing AB 2787 by Assemblymember Quirk. Welcome, Assemblymember. We're going to start as a committee, a subcommittee of the committee to hear the presentation and to take testimony. And we have a few members on their way down. We will have a quorum soon. Good morning, Mr. Assemblymember.
Good morning, Senator.
When you're ready.
First, I would just want to thank the committee and particularly the chair for agreeing to hear this bill. And I am extremely grateful. Per the many discussions we've had, I will accept the amendment that clarifies that the California Independent System Operator, the CAISO, will not own the assets that we're asking them to procure. So I am accepting that amendment. AB 2787 would direct the CAISO to complete a process for the procurement of long-duration energy storage that in aggregate would have about 1,000 or 2,000 megawatts of capacity. That's power. That's what's delivered, so they could deliver 1,000 or 2,000 megawatts. Bulk energy storage captures emission-free energy for use around the clock and offers a number of distinct benefits, including grid operation flexibility for renewable energy integration by providing for fast ramping. We've all heard about the duck curve. Load management and options for operational contingencies. Supporting deployment of larger amounts of in-state solar and thus support in-state jobs and provides a long-term solution, 50 years plus, that contributes to greenhouse gas reduction goals beyond 2030 and in furtherance of the state's 80% greenhouse gas emission reduction goal by 2050. The CPUC modeling results released in September of 2017 showed that under most scenarios, if we're going to have an aggressive carbon target and an effective RPS above 60% electric power from renewables, that pump storage is required to manage the grid and meet the statutory greenhouse gas reduction targets. The reason that I've taken this bill on is I greatly believe in pump storage, and I believe the mechanism we have here for acquiring pump storage is the best mechanism we can have. We already have problems with too much solar during the day. This is the way to manage this, pumping the water uphill when it's available, when the power is available to do that, and then when it's needed at night to get the hydropower from the water you've pumped upwards. So I have expert witnesses who will be prepared to answer any technical questions.
Very good. Did you have any witnesses that wanted to present?
Do you want to present?
Yes.
All right, Carrie.
Good morning, Chairman Wisso, members of the committee. My name is Carrie Hadovic. I'm West Government Affairs Director for NextEra Energy Resources. NextEra has been an electric generator provider in California since 1986 and is California's largest renewable owner and operator of renewable generation. NextEra owns 27 wind and solar farms, representing nearly a $7 billion investment in the state. In addition to being active in the energy storage space, both in front of and behind the meter battery storage, as well as investors in large bulk energy storage facility. As a company that is heavily invested in California's commitment to clean energy and grid decarbonization, we support 2787 for the following reasons. The next step in grid decarbonization requires vision and leadership so that the infrastructure needed to support California's goals is constructed. California will need long-duration energy storage to meet its carbon objectives. Bulk energy storage assures that both continued investment in clean energy and that customers receive the benefit of the investments they make. The state found that long-duration storage is the most cost-effective path forward with high levels of renewables and aggressive carbon reductions. They found that above 60% RPS, you require long-duration pump storage. AB 2787 elegantly navigates a gap in a regulatory framework that exists today for infrastructure scale projects that are required to cost effectively meet the carbon goals by the mid-2020s. There are 26 load serving entities in California today. No single load serving entity is large enough to secure and procure an infrastructure scale project on its own. That means that without action, the most cost effective solution to help California meet its decarbonization goals will be off the table. AB 2787 provides an answer to both the cost recovery and infrastructure scale problem by asking the ISO for this limited purpose to procure bulk energy storage in a similar way to how it procures transmission projects. The ISO is best positioned to procure bulk energy storage because it already has a process in place to procure transmission projects. The process could be applied directly to bulk energy storage, which has a similarly long lead time and long life infrastructure projects with multi-beneficiaries. The ISO also has a cost recovery mechanism that supports the financing of infrastructure scale projects and allows the state to harness cost savings while assuring equitable cost allocation through transmission rates. In short, AB 2787 builds off an existing efficient process. California must invest in bulk energy storage now to assure that renewable integration solutions are in place by the mid-2020s. Thank you.
Chair Members, SRD, on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council, I want to thank you, the author, and your staff for all the hard work on this legislation, studying it, and a lot of the meetings that we've had with all the other senators on this committee. Very grateful for your time. We are very much in support of this legislation. We believe that it removes barriers to long-duration bulk storage deployment and provides a means to diversify California's energy portfolio by setting up a procurement path for such bulk storage projects now. Given the time lead required for such projects, getting started on this procurement effort is critical. The procurement, design, and construction timeline for bulk storage projects like pump storage is approximately 10 years. California must therefore act now to ensure this technology is available to meet the GHG and renewable portfolio standard targets by 2030, and we urge your support.
Mr. Chair, members, John White with the Clean Power Campaign. We support the bill. We have worked with Mr. Quirk on other legislation previously regarding large-scale storage, but have been unsuccessful at getting the PUC to look beyond batteries and solar. We think that we need a balanced portfolio of storage projects. We think that there are several good potential projects that could qualify for this bill, as well as technologies like compressed air, which are also eligible under the terms of the bill. We think that it's important to get started for the reasons mentioned. This is a very cost-effective and needed part of the portfolio. We see increasing amounts of curtailment in our future, and we can't simply move forward with more renewables without simultaneously addressing the need for more large-scale storage. Thank you.
Speakers in favor to state your name, your position, and who you're representing at the mic.
Mr. Chairman and members, Bob Giroux on behalf of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, and we strongly support the bill.
Mike Monaghan on behalf of the California State Association of Electrical Workers and the California State Pipe Trades Council in support.
Mr. Chair and members, Caitlin Vega for the California Labor Federation, also here in support.
Valerie Torrella-Vlahos, Pacific Gas and Electric Company, in support.
Mr. Chairman and members, Tim Kremens, International Union of Operating Engineers, in full support.
Mr. Chairman and members, Steve Brown, Council Member, City of Coachella, in support.
Lisa Bodner with the Coachella Valley Economic Partnership, in support.
Mr. Chairman, Bob Wright, Managing Director of the East Valley Coalition, in support of AB 2787.
Eric Lemus, in support for California Partnership.
Neftel Galarza, I'm a trustee, Coachella Valley Unified, representing Imperial and Riverside County in the further east. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Gary Passmore, representing the Congress of California Seniors. We strongly support AB 2787 to meet the energy need critical to the health and safety of seniors. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. Elizabeth Espinosa here this morning on behalf of Riverside County Supervisor V. Manuel Perez. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Chair, Senators. Glenn Farrell, San Diego County Water Authority. We're in strong support.
Do we have speakers in opposition?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Jance Money Jones with the Independent Energy Producers. We represent renewable technologies as well as storage. We are here today in opposition of this specific bill. We are not opposed to pump storage or bulk storage at all. But some key issues. One, this is not urgent. We've had plenty of time to look at this throughout the year. Why we're doing this at the last minute with an urgency bill raises, I think, some pretty serious questions as to what are we doing here. I think it's good that the amendment now precludes the ISO from actually owning an asset. The ISO is an independent entity, so it should not own, nor should it have an interest in making sure that one asset runs to the exclusion of others, and it's not clear exactly how that's going to work. This is a big project. There's going to be a lot of money that's associated with cost recovery. There's only one project that we are aware of that on a standalone basis meets the criteria here of being over 1,000 megawatts, under 2,000 megawatts, and in California. That's the sponsors. I understand their interest in getting the plant built. It's been sitting out there for a long time. But I think the other issue that the committee needs to pay attention to is that the ISO has indicated that this will take a 205 filing at FERC. Now, there's a key issue in here that this project needs to be in California. Now, I'm all for creating additional California jobs. My people have created thousands of them, and we would like to create more. But the minute you put in California on something that is not a local issue, this is a grid-related issue, you're asking for a fight. This has kicked me all over it at a federal level, and we shouldn't be going down that road. So at any rate, I think that what we probably should do is push this idea into next year. There's obviously other regulatory proceedings that could address this, and if the legislature believes that it needs to take this up, let's take this up sort of more in a proper order where we can actually look at the pluses and minuses of this. Thank you very much for your concern.
Good morning. My name is Kim Delfino, and I'm the State Director for Defenders of Wildlife. We oppose this bill for the reasons that were just obviously previously stated, but I'm here to talk specifically about the driver of this bill, which is the Eagle Crest Pump Storage Project. We are strongly in opposition to that project. We have been for many years. While the bill is silent on this project, it is very clearly directed to give new life to this project, the project that currently has no FERC license. A project that was going nowhere until the federal administration turned over. And currently has no procurement contract in place, largely because the PUC has said that the project would provide, which raises issues with respect to ratepayers and also with respect to the benefits of the procurement system. The CAISO in its 2017 transmission planning process said that the project did not provide grid benefits. And then from the environmental perspective, the problem with this project is that given the type of project, it's going to be pumping groundwater to run the pump storage project. And the National Park Service's experts, the federal experts, have said that the project proponent's science is wrong, that this will cause critical overdraft in the Chuckwalla Basin. It will dewater the groundwater in the springs next to the Joshua Tree National Park, which this project is located right next to, and will cause significant harm to the environment. But also, I might add, is that's also right next to the Riverside East Solar Energy Zone. And one of the issues within that zone is ensuring that there's enough groundwater for the solar projects that are going in there. And so could this potentially destabilize the ability to put more projects in the future within that zone? I, like the previous speaker, believe that this is a bigger issue that deserves a longer-term discussion in the legislature. And therefore, for these reasons, we would strongly urge that you vote no on this bill. And just for the record, record, we are not against pump storage. Actually, we believe that pump storage is important. The San Vicente project is a good project. But the CAISO, I'm sorry, the PUC in their IRP said that battery storage, they required the procurement of 2,000 megawatts of battery storage in the current IRP, and there's a reason why they did that, and this bill would undo that. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear from opposition. State your name, your position on the bill, and who you're representing.
Elaine Ortiz in opposition on behalf of the Nature Conservancy and National Parks Conservation Association. Thank you.
Patrick Welch with the California Municipal Utilities Association. We think this bill, in conjunction with a number of other mandates being considered by the legislatures here, will have considerable rate impacts, and that should be carefully considered by this committee. We're opposed to the bill. Thank you.
Anthony Sampson on behalf of the Southern California Public Power Authority in opposition.
Alfredo Redondo on behalf of California Native Plant Society. We align our comments in opposition with Defenders of Wildlife and reiterate our position is not against pump storage writ large. It's specific to the environmental impacts for the project in the Sonoran Desert. Thank you.
Juan Altamirano on behalf of Audubon, California, for the same reasons previously stated from Defenders of Wildlife and this previous speaker, we don't believe that we should be pumping water out of the desert. Thank you.
Good morning. Don Gilbert for San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. We oppose because we oppose one project, one company bills. Thank you.
Eddie Moreno on behalf of Sierra Club, California, in opposition.
Mr. Chair and members, Greg Cook representing Northern California Power Agency in opposition to the bill.
Thank you. Melissa Cortez-Roth on behalf of the California Wind Energy Association. We're actually a little bit of a tweener. We have an oppose unless amend position. We do not oppose the storage mandate in this bill. However, we are asking for an amendment so that the cost is allocated based on the portfolio of a load-serving entity rather than the load share, so that if a load-serving entity has a balanced portfolio, obviously they're not contributing more to the need of the storage. We think that is a more equitable way to distribute this. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We'll come to members if members have. Yeah, why don't we do that, actually? I thought we had established a quorum. Let's do that. Clerk, please call the roll.
Wesso?
Here.
Wesso here. Morrell?
Here.
Morrell here. Bradford?
Here.
Bradford here. Canella?
Here.
Canella here. Hertzberg?
Here.
Hertzberg here. Hill?
Here.
Hill here. McGuire? Skinner? Stern?
Here.
Stern here. Vidak?
Here.
Vidak here. Wiener? Wiener here.
There was a question whether this bill would transfer a project into the ownership of CAISO, and we just thought it'd be good to dismiss any notion that might happen. So we added an amendment to that to make sure to this bill to make sure that that's not possible. That's the bill that we're recommending. The author has agreed to take those amendments, and if at any time members following discussion want to add that amendment to the bill and move the bill, that would be my recommendation. And Senator Hertzberg.
I'm sorry I didn't see the bill, the amendment, but a couple of things. You know, I mean, pump back is the greatest idea around. It's much better than batteries and the like by orders of magnitude in my judgment. I know the project well since a little kid back in Eagle Mountain. I know the area and all the history of it. But I am deeply concerned, deeper than what you just expressed, Mr. Chairman, about the precedent that is established. We know we have been engaged in this long debate since the days of the energy crisis as to how to conform and reorganize our electrical grid and what it looks like. We've created extraordinary complications by virtue of how energy is delivered in the renewable space. I sat in this committee and voted for, under the objection of these amendments to be putting in, dealing with the relationship between FERC and CAISO, which we're trying to regionalize this grid. So I just want to go through some of these comments that I'd like to get your response, because I think they're pretty intelligent in the analysis. You know, the idea of a couple of points. Point, obviously, I want to get a little bit deeper into establishing this new requirement that ISO to procure and mandate energy storage. I want to look at specifically how that amendment did. Secondly, I think of critical importance is how CAISO stated they've studied the use of energy, but they found that the benefits did not outweigh the costs. Important deal in terms of ratepayers. Thirdly, to the extent that one has concerns about the current FERC
the mandated procurement will be handling the existing, by the existing federal administration. And one of the challenges that I tried to deal with here, it very delicately going back east and the like, was what the interrelationship is. We can say what we want is, but if we're now giving this responsibility for procurement to the independent operating system, what does that look like in terms of, as the analysis says, the preference for a specific resource type could be viewed as discriminatory under the FERC, on Federal Power Act, and thereby challenged by the stakeholders under review by the FERC. So, you know, while the notion, there's a few other issues, but while the notion of this idea is great, no question about it, pump-back systems, you are challenging everything we've been talking about for 20 years in trying to develop the new architecture of where we're going. We don't, you know, we have all these processes of reports determining whether we need a check, you blow that. You're putting us directly in conflict with the FERC. You can say you're not, but guess what? They get to decide under federal preemption law. I just look at the architecture of how this is done as to how this marries into our current structure, and I'm just concerned, and I'd like to hear the answers to these questions from the author at the appropriate time, because I think the analysis really does touch at the core of what the issues are that concern me.
Okay. So let me just make sure I have all your questions. You want to make sure that CAISO doesn't own the pump storage, and the answer is CAISO doesn't own the transmission, but they do the same process for transmission, and it would be owned by the people who are the builders of, well, it could be pump storage, it could be other technologies that are allowed here, but the ownership will be by the company that builds it and operates it. And I think that's very clear, but we also took that amendment to make sure, because the FERC doesn't own any of the wires either. So I think that's clear. Then you had a question on costs and about discrimination, and I'll bring those over to my expert, Carrie Hadovic.
And just so I'm clear, I'm answering the right question. Would you mind repeating it, Senator Hertzberg, regarding?
Question. Yeah, basically what happened is under Kevin, Proton De Leon's measure, SB 350, we looked at the whole issue cost. And it says the CAISO has stated that they have studied the use of energy storage in 2016-17, but they found that the benefits did not outweigh the costs. And so these things get passed on to ratepayers. That was number one. And the second one was the FERC just gets, once you get into procurement, you can talk about transmission lines, because that's really the core of what the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission does. But now all of a sudden you're extending that procurement piece, and all of a sudden they decide what's priced. I've had so many cases over the years, they decide what's discriminatory. You can say it's not, and they can say it is, and you lose. How do you handle that?
Senator Hertzberg, good questions. So let me start off with the cost question. The CPU, Assemblyman Quirk had a bill passed, AB 33 in 2016, that asked the CPUC to include the study of pump storage as part of their integrated resource plan. Those analytics were completed in 2017. What those analytics said was that if you are at 42 million ton carbon target, at effective 50%, 57% RPS, you don't need pump storage. So if you don't think that we are going to have renewables above 57%, or that we need to plan for a more aggressive carbon target, then this isn't for you. What it did find is if you are going above 60% RPS and you are going toward a more aggressive carbon target, you need long duration bulk storage to fully integrate those and maximize the benefit of your investments in renewables. So that is a policy call. If you are planning for the future and you know you have 10-year lead times to get the infrastructure in place to support those mandates, then that's what this bill does.
Before you get to the next piece, let me just ask you a little more detail if I can. I'll finish here on this. I know it's important.
And then there's the ISO piece as well.
It gets to the point. It says, it sets forth that, you know, as noted, CPC and CEC have initiated the first cycle of the RRP as required under SB 350. Two important milestones were developed of the reference system plan and the August 1st LSE filing deadline, yet this bill looks to usurp this process, instead have the legislature make a determination what exactly the resources have and specific timelines needed. So again, going to the point of, you're just basically saying, I want to do this project and I'm going to violate everything you've been thinking about for 20 years.
This is not a project-specific bill. The PUC adopted a middle-of-the-road carbon target, but they did study bulk energy storage and found that it will be required under these circumstances. The question from a policy standpoint is, do you want that infrastructure in place because that's where we're going? If you're looking at 10-year construction cycles for these type of projects, then you can't look at where we are right this minute. You need to be looking at where you want us to be 10 years from now, and that's what's required here. As a large renewable energy developer, I will tell you there is no low-hanging fruit left in this system. You have to start planning for the infrastructure and the grid integration solutions now to get where you're going. To the ISO study that's quoted in that report, it did not find that the costs outweigh the benefits. What it found is you cannot meet your RPS without long-duration pump storage. What it found in terms of cost was that it said that because bulk energy storage has so much value in the system for soaking up low-cost solar and releasing it during high-cost times, that those facilities will be able to capture a certain amount of market revenue from the market. What it found was about 65 to 85% of the total cost of these projects can be recovered through the market. So what the finding was not that it wasn't had no value. What it said was that market revenues were not sufficient enough to cover the full capital costs of these projects, which leads to the conversation that they're having now at the ISO is how do you recover the costs of these type of large infrastructure projects and treat them as transmission rates, where you take those market revenues for the value of supporting solar and credit that back against the transmission rates to provide the value to the customer.
There's also the question of discrimination.
We'll go to Senator Stern.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
She didn't answer the third question.
You can answer it together with his question.
Third being Commerce Clause?
Discrimination.
So I'll give you space on that one because that's a concern for me, calling out an in California project and sort of valuing that one. Let me just throw out my others so you guys can work through them. Pumping in the desert and sort of talking through the environmental impact here. We're talking about one project. I know there's multiple projects eligible here, but that does raise concerns for me, but I wanted to get a little bit on the environmental impact side and what this bill does and doesn't do in terms of just the regular order of business on CEQA, because I think that's an important point to clarify. And then, I wanted just a quick response, if you could, on this notion, this allocation question of based on load share versus portfolio and what if that's a deal breaker or not. I'm torn on this one because I actually do want us to get to 100% renewables, so I'm trying to stretch here.
So first of all, this doesn't call out a specific project, and it doesn't say anything about changing CEQA. So everything still has to go through CEQA. If you don't like the findings that are approved, you can still sue, et cetera. So whatever project is, it has to be in line with all of our environmental laws. I'll now turn over to Carrie.
Commerce Clause? The bill does say in California. The reason it says in California is all the analytics around bulk energy storage, its grid support, its inertia support, its a renewable integration value, all of it were based on studies on the California grid. So that was sort of a natural in terms of the value to California, and all the analytics study the value of these type of projects from a grid standpoint in California. We have no particular, opinion or anything else regarding that provision. If it were problematic, it doesn't bother us. But in terms of the analytics that have been done by both the ISO and the PUC, the value has always been tied to grid support in California. So that's why that provision is there.
And the third one, the cost allocation.
Oh, yes, California. Yes, Senator Stern. Cost allocation is not addressed in this bill. That is the purview of the, that will be the purview in the study of the ISO once they take this forward. With regard to CalWEA's suggestion that you look at the portfolios when you're looking at allocating the cost of that, I think that's a very, very meritorious idea. I think it provides the right incentive. This just isn't the place for that. There'll be a process downstream for everybody to talk about why they think the cost should be allocated in one way or another. My expectation is there's a lot of opinion on that matter.
Final comment would just be, still struggling with what to do here, but I would hate for this bill to become law and then to see some kind of facial discrimination actually, you know, get a whole process started, and then we end up in a complicated, not just a FERC preemption on 205, but on dormant commerce clause analysis. And let's be clear, I want the jobs here, but we've been artful in terms of drafting in the past in terms of how we articulate the environmental benefits in state. And when you get into a non-facial discrimination where you're able to sort of get into a balancing test, we've usually prevailed. So it's something for the author and sponsors to consider going forward, just in terms of how to make this framework as durable as possible and still get those benefits in state.
Senator Cannell.
And one thing I did want to respond to, there is a severability clause in the bill so that if one single element of it, for example, the in California provision were challenged, the rest of the bill could stand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you said this isn't a project-specific bill. Are there other projects in California that would be able to receive the benefit of this bill?
Yes.
There are? Okay.
Senator, we're planning a 500-megawatt project in San Diego, and that project would benefit when we go online.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I'm going to support this bill in committee, but I've been trying to understand what the cost of the ratepayer is going to be. So far, I don't have that cost. So if it comes back when it gets to the floor and it's outrageous, then I won't support it on the floor, but I will submit support it today.
Senator Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I always like working with Assemblymember Quirk because he always has big and bold projects and bills that he brings forward. And this is another one. For me, and I don't want to repeat what Senator Stern and Senator Hertzberg said, because they're pretty much aligned with my thinking with relationship to this excellent analysis that we have, which really highlights some of the questions and I believe major concerns. The difficulty for me is I always like to be able to work something so that we can make whatever changes are necessary working with the author. We don't have that luxury today. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're stuck. And this is it. And so, unfortunately, I will not be able to support it today, but I just love the big and bold of Assemblymember Quirk. Thank you.
Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank the author for bringing this measure forward. And as I'm listening to both the proponents and opponents, I thank Senator from Van Nuys for recognizing the benefit of pump storage as an individual who's worked in the environmental sphere and utilities. This has been a discussion going on for years, and the reason pump storage is not at the table and probably leading right now is because of the prescriptive nature of this legislative body who's chosen wind and solar as a way to get to 100% renewable. Well, that's the biggest fallacy we continue to tell folks if we believe we're going to be at 100% renewable on wind and solar alone. Solar provides no inertia whatsoever to move an electron down the wire. So you need something turbine generated, which pump storage provides. We also talk about battery storage. Well, you can't use solar and store at the same time, so it's one or the other. So if you're storing, use it to pump this water up the hill during the daytime when we're wasting more solar power than we're utilizing. And in the evening when the need is greater and the wind is intermittent at best, this is a dispatchable resource. And at the end of the day, that's what we should be talking about when you're talking about renewables, ones you can turn on and off on demand when the customer needs it, not on a whim. And this provides far more stability. And when I hear the argument about costs, well, these were the same issues that were raised when wind and solar were being proposed 15, 20 years ago in the state of California. The same environmental impacts, too, when we tried to build Tri-Tip and a Sunrise Power Line, all the environmental impacts for the wind and solar projects that they wanted. So we've managed to get around there on those projects, and I'm sure we can find a way to do it on this project. So I'm happy to be a co-author and support this measure.
We have a motion, Senator Bradford. We have a motion. And that's due pass to approves with the committee amendments.
No, just an due pass because of time
amendments to be taken in. Just
okay, then it's due pass with amendments, and I'm sure. Will it go to approves?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A clerk, please call the roll.
Due pass to be amended in appropriations. Wesso?
No mention of appropriations. You can restate, please.
Do pass to appropriations. Wesso?
Not appropriations. Make up your mind.
Do pass to appropriations.
Okay.
It's a timing issue. Timing issue. It'll be amended in appropriations by the author.
Okay.
Okay. Wesso?
Aye.
Wesso, aye. Morrell?
No.
Morrell, no. Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Cannella?
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Hertzberg? Hill? Hill, no. McGuire? Skinner? Stern? Vidak? Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye. So 4-2. We need two more votes. And
see, that bill has four votes. We need two more. We'll hold the roll open for absent members. We got McGuire and.
He's presiding. He's not coming in.
Thank you.
Current vote 4-2. Chair voting aye. Vice chair voting no. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. McGuire? Skinner? Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Vidak? So it has enough.
Do you want your glasses for the floor?
This meeting's adjourned.
Can you take them back to the office for me?
And then, do you want to adjourn?
We're officially adjourned now.
Thank you.